3, protect the pilot.
You are the Apex Champions.
Going, dog.
Welcome to the Good Games Gaming Podcast, your monthly gaming podcast. I'm your host, Shay, joined by my co-host, Henry. Henry, how's it going today?
It's going good. I'm happy to be back. It's always fun to hop on this now monthly podcast and talk about other games.
Yeah, for anyone that is new here, we are from the Third Party and Apex Legends podcast. That's the main show. But we've enjoyed, you know, putting some time aside now to hop on here and talk about other games we're playing occasionally. Make sure you check us out on Instagram at Good Games Pod. Today we're going to be reading some reviews, 5 stars as always, talking about Call of Duty Cold War. Going over a little bit of gaming news, not as much as last month though, and continuing, I think maybe some of my favorite segments that we record in podcasting, making and selling a game. They're just great.
They get pretty fun. I don't know if our listeners enjoy it, but we think it's pretty fun.
We have a blast doing it and it's just a good time. But yeah, if you are new here, this is a podcast for us to talk about our favorite games, what's going on in the gaming universe, and hopefully interact with some of you other avid gamers. Before we really dive into the news, let's read some 5-star reviews.
First review coming from Dr. Bad Karma, 5 stars. You guys are just the greatest. Just keep up the great work. You should review Jedi Fallen Order, best podcasters ever.
Fallen Order is a fantastic game. We could definitely add it to the list of ones we want to talk about at some point. Have you finished it yet? I know you got a late start on it.
I tried to finish it over the winter break. Uh-huh. I didn't end up finishing it, but I played through a lot of it. It is a long game.
Oh, it's not quick, yeah.
I was finding one mission taking me about 15 hours, and I do have the difficulty not on easy.
And you tend to like the 100% everything kinda, and play all the sides and all that
like,
stuff.
Wow, these are long, like really long missions. So it's a cool game. I definitely enjoy it.
Next review coming from Killer 123453. 5-star. Sea of Thieves, please. P.S. I don't know if you remember, but thanks for listening to us.
Thanks for the review. Sea of Thieves is a game that we've played. It's way more complicated than it looks. I looked at it like, oh, this is a kid game. It has a lot of very adult like mechanics.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like inappropriate, but just the way that ships sail and yes. The way that ships are destroyed and the way that your health, like it's deeper than it looks. And so I think that all ages can enjoy Sea of Thieves.
Let's talk about some gaming news. When we're talking gaming news right now, this time there is one thing that comes to the forefront of everybody's mind, and that is Valheim. And so really, we'll probably actually talk about this game maybe on a full show if I can convince Henry to download it and play it, because I have not been more addicted to a game in a long time. But to give the brief spiel, 3 million copies have been sold, $20 each, team of 5 members, and the game is pulling serious Twitch viewers, placing in the top 10, competing in the same kind of universe as like Apex and Among Us right now in that 80,000 to 100,000 range. But the crazy thing about it on Twitch is that there hasn't been a big name streamer yet to pick it up, which is what, you know, dominates a lot of those big games like COD and such. And so the game plays like a survival style Minecraft game, but kind of Viking based and a bit more, you know, architecture mechanics that actually, you know, matter. You can't just place blocks straight up over your head and stuff and have everything be sturdy. I'll just say that I've had a blast. We'll probably dive into it more in depth at another point, but worth mentioning and noting that it's on our head. But what are maybe some of your just impressions of seeing the game rise in popularity?
Yeah, I have not played it. My impressions on its popularity are I'm shocked. I think that it's very impressive to have a game release with the graphics that it has and the style that it has, being a Viking game that's sort of like Roblox or Minecraft, but for maybe an older audience, is interesting. I'm shocked that it is getting the hype that it is. It's also notable information to see 3 million copies. That is significant, but it's not 30 million like COD, and it's not 70 million downloads like Apex. So it's so interesting to see how games can come onto the scene with a variety of different numbers and still captivate a portion of the gaming community. It'll be interesting to see with all other games, you know, how things play out. Will this be a 1 year game, mm-hmm. a 1 month game, a 2 year game, a 10 year game? Like, are we looking at, is this the next Fortnite? I wouldn't think so,
mm-hmm.
but I don't think I'm an authority, and I've been shocked before.
I think the game is not even like trying to compete with those first person shooters at all. It is so much directly like in that Minecraft, Rust, Ark Survival kind of survival area.
Very popular games.
That's very popular. It blew my mind finding out that this was developed by a team of five people, and it's still a team of five people working on a game. Really, with the resources they now have, selling 3 million copies, we've heard that that might be expanded, because if you look at the depth of this game, it's incredible for only having five people develop it. But yeah, that's Valheim. Let's talk about Call of Duty Cold War. We kind of have been wanting to talk about for a little bit. Tentatively, we're waiting for, you know, Ranked to come out to kind of talk about that as well, because it was supposed to be such a hyped thing. And then, you know, podcast delays as well roped us into talking about it right now. We're excited to finally get going on it. We're big COD fans. Henry kind of introduced me a little bit into like more serious COD. I was playing pretty casually, and then we got into gaming together and really dove into COD. Maybe before we break this game down, do you want to say anything about your history with COD?
Yeah, I guess I started playing Call of Duty with COD 4 on the Wii.
Yes.
So pretty much from the beginning, really enjoyed then getting Black Ops 1 on the Xbox 360 long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
I've played almost every COD since. Didn't actually buy Ghost, didn't buy World War II, but every other COD I actually enjoyed quite a bit. It's a very amazing franchise. My favorite part of COD, I do play multiplayer.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely in prestige multiple mm-hmm. times on most of the games, but really enjoy zombies. Pretty easy going on zombies. Mm-hmm. I don't necessarily say like, oh, Black Ops 2, Black Ops 3 or 1 is like the only one I'll play. I like most of them. And so that's kind of where my expertise is going to come on this podcast is the zombies play. But yeah, I mean, it is a staple of my childhood gaming.
Mm-hmm.
And even though COD has kind of gone into the background for me, it's still something that I look at as an amazing case study of what a game should be
mm-hmm.
and how do you create something that's really amazing and can impact so many people's lives. I mean, COD is just a cultural staple.
Yeah. It's hilarious though that you didn't buy Ghost in World War II, because Ghost was my first COD and World War II is probably my most played COD. My freshman year of college.
I don't really know what happened. Like, I'm big into World War II, like history.
Mm-hmm.
Like, middle school, I was very much into World War II, read a lot of books, wrote some books. Like, I was into it.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't really know what. I think freshman year of college, I didn't have my console.
A bunch of Fortnite also for a little bit.
I didn't have my console, and my roommate didn't have it. And so, I just didn't really have the opportunity to get it.
Mm-hmm.
And then winter break, I was playing Odyssey instead.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I kind of just skipped out, and then I played the zombies
Apex.
And I didn't like it.
Mm-hmm.
And then Apex.
Yeah. So that's what's going to happen. Let's dive now into Cold War. Cold War is the latest installment in the Call of Duty franchise, set during the 1980s and launched with high hopes of being one of the most beloved CODs in recent history. Earning $678 million in the first 6 weeks, the title, while still successful, fell very short of the standard that Modern Warfare had set by earning $600 million in the first 3 days. Cold War is a game that the community was incredibly hyped up for, with hopes of returning to the Call of Duty, back to its Black Ops style gameplay that is just kind of like a cult following at this point. Everyone loves Black Ops. The game was developed by Raven and Sledgehammer Games. The game was actually not intended to be a title in the Black Ops series when it was being developed, but after disagreements between the two development teams created a lot of issues, Activision decided to pass the title on to Treyarch for development and listed Raven as a co-developer. Treyarch has then been a mainstay Call of Duty developer for a long time, developing all the Black Ops games and the Battle Royale Warzone. So this was then published by Activision, one of the most successful publishers, you know, in gaming history. You know, we love Activision. We talk about them all the time. And just, they, you know, many, many games, rattling off a list just doesn't do it justice to all the titles that would then be left off the list, but COD obviously being the most noteworthy. So whether you have your complaints about Activision as a company, which seems like everyone has complaints about every company right now, it's undeniable that they've created the most successful first-person shooter in franchise gaming. Cold War is this most recent installment, though. And, you know, with the future of Call of Duty with BRs, it's going to be an interesting one to kind of follow and see what happens. For now, we're just going to dive into the details, though, and break down everything we can. Kind of important to note, just kind of continuing this model for Modern Warfare, which is something that I think picked up a lot of steam for the COD community. All DLCs, maps, and add-ons are going to be free to everyone, and Activision is going to really focus on the model of post-launch monetization coming from battle passes, which is kind of the new norm. I do think it was interesting kind of reading about this stuff and doing some research that I didn't realize the game didn't start as a Black Ops game. It was, you know, Raven and Sledgehammer, and then something happened and got passed to Treyarch, and that turned it into a Black Ops title. Kind of interesting to see, because we don't hear a lot of, you know, bad stuff happening with Call of Duty game development.
It is very interesting, especially given that everything's pretty much on a cycle.
Yeah.
You got Modern Warfare, and you got the Black Ops series. And so it's interesting, what really happened? Was there a plan to stop the Black Ops series?
Yeah.
Or was there another game in development that was going to be Cold War or otherwise? So interesting, for sure. I can say just briefly, I really like the direction that the game is. Like, I like returning back to kind of that original Black Ops 1, boots on the ground, Cold War. I like that style.
Yeah.
And you're going to talk a little bit about the campaign.
Well, Call of Duty, I think maybe we can talk about a little bit longer here, because they dove into the double jump craziness abilities with Infinite Warfare and Advanced Warfare very hard. Like, they full committed to it. And they are very much backtracking now. You know, they remastered, I can't remember the name of the one. They remastered one, then came out with Modern Warfare, and now Cold War. And so, like, they've tried to, like, honestly put it as far back in the past as possible. And so it is interesting to kind of see, like, are they just giving up on that at all?
Yeah, it's certainly interesting. Not going into the future, not doing space wars with wall running and lasers. Definitely seems like to be the more favorable game. Also, based off of that, you know, this most recent edition before Cold War of Modern Warfare, boots on the ground, present day. Interesting that going back in time didn't sell as many copies as maybe was projected. I think a lot of the reason is that a lot of people are liking Warzone.
Yeah.
And people didn't feel like they maybe needed to get this next Call of Duty because Modern Warfare they still enjoyed, but Warzone was really that pull. Did they need to shell out another
60, 75 bucks
to get the next one? They certainly did, but didn't break any records this year, which they usually break every record every year.
Yes. It's going to be interesting to see what continues to happen with Warzone. I remember when, you know, Cold War is kind of like getting released and rumored, we were talking a ton of like, is Warzone going to get like, you know, just deleted and you're going to have to reinstall a new one, or like, how's it going to work? And we honestly, like, we're not going to dive too deep into Warzone. This isn't a Warzone episode. We're focusing on Cold War in an essence, but it is going to be interesting to kind of monitor the future relationship between all these BRs and mainstay TDM style games that COD's got.
Yes. I don't want to have any errors. Cold War is a very, very, very successful game.
Yes, yes, yes.
In 2020, Cold War was the number one selling game, followed by Modern Warfare. So in 2020, the last entry into the Call of Duty franchise was the second highest selling game of the year. Very successful franchise. Very successful games.
Yeah, we are by no means saying that they're going to do bad. We're just saying, like, what are they going to do differently, maybe? Or, like, what do they want to do? Because they get to do whatever the heck they want at this point. And that's kind of the fun of it. Let's talk about the campaign, though. And maybe some people aren't going to like this, but the campaign is one of our favorite aspects of the Call of Duty franchise every year. And while it's not the most popular element of the game for the majority of people, I think few games do it as well as COD does. The story every year is always, you know, one for the ages that connects you with the characters and missions in a way few other games can. Like, I've played some of the Battlefield campaigns and I think they're fine, but something about the COD campaigns is always just amazing. Like, graphically, story-wise, perfect. Cold War's campaign is set during the Cold War in the 1980s and follows Russell Adler following his mission to stop a USSR extremist group and Perseus. Whether it's fighting through the intense terrain of Vietnam or chasing down an airplane, the mission themselves are astounding to play and graphically immaculate. Before I keep going, give me your first impression of that chasing the airplane first mission in COD Cold War.
Pretty intense, pretty great. Mm-hmm. Like, I like it. Campaigns are always interesting for me because you're guided, you know, you're supposed to do it this way.
Mm-hmm.
But there's the kind of this facade that it is organic.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you have to kind of go this route and maybe use this gun, but you can, you find that in a natural way. And mm-hmm. I think that's really awesome. And that scene and that mission is a really good example of everybody knows that you're going to get into the car and chase the plane,
yes.
But it feels very spontaneous mm-hmm. and natural.
Definitely. Kind of the unique thing about this COD is, from a campaign perspective, players take control of a character known as Bell. And this is where things kind of get interesting in the Cold War campaign. Upon the completion of the first mission, players get to choose their name, gender, and character profile. This character profile grants you two ability bonuses that travel with you throughout the campaign, such as improved reload speed, increased sprinting ability, greater resilience, grenade resistance, and there's honestly a lot more too. On top of this, throughout the campaign, players will be prompted with dialogue trees that alter the way in which the campaign missions are played out. This type of character control is something that we've been a fan of in previous games, and it makes things feel a lot more personal and immersive. And this is kind of a first for COD, kind of going down this route of having control of the campaign. It's not full form. There's not multiple endings to the campaign like some games that go this style are, but there still is like a, your character persona will come across how you want them to.
I love how they put perks into mm-hmm. the campaign. I thought not only is it cool and easy to do, like, no, it's not going to ruin the campaign if you get to, you know, heal faster or have, you know, some sort of extra ability, but I like how they presented it through the narrative. It was really cool mm-hmm. to see like different files, and I liked how they executed it.
And you got to like choose like your country of origin, mm-hmm. and it was like, oh, did you come from, you know, MI6, or did you come from like the SEALs or something? Like, it was there's that kind of customization flows into kind of what you were talking about of, while it's scripted, it makes you feel like, well, I am doing this. I'm controlling this.
It's cool.
This COD campaign is great. You know, I will 100% recommend to anyone to always play the COD campaigns, even though I know some people buy the game, open up multiplayer, and will never touch campaign in their entire lives. Do you have any more praise about the campaign at all before we dive into multiplayer?
It's an underrated mode.
It
you
is.
Know? Hopefully they continue to do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's definitely an important thing, I think. It's definitely something that I think brings a lot of awards to the game.
Yes.
So I think probably worthwhile and definitely worth playing through. Mm-hmm. It's fun.
Definitely. Let's talk multiplayer now.
Yeah, so this is the main staple of Call of Duty. And really, it's not going to go unmissed in Cold War.
No.
It's back. It's stronger than ever. A lot of different game modes, as always. You have Team Deathmatch, Hardpoint, Domination, the list goes on. Cold War introduces a new game mode called Fireteam that has 40 players.
It's interesting. This is the second year in a row they've kind of done the newer, larger map game modes within the TDM that are like a balance between Battle Royale and what we're used to. I honestly haven't played it a ton, but the one or two times I dropped in, it was kind of fun. It's crazy, though.
The large style kind of Battlefield-esque game modes mm-hmm. are very interesting to me because mm-hmm. I do think that it's inspired by this BR.
Yeah.
But it's still one team versus the other. So it's a very different way to approach Call of Duty in mm-hmm. terms of kill streaks and kind of map positioning and the pace of play. I feel like there's less living and or more living, less dying
yeah.
because you're in a larger space. And that's very different. Cold War also continues from the Modern Warfare gunsmith system that introduces a level of weapon and loadout customization that I believe is incredible. The major difference between Cold War system and Modern Warfare's is its wild card system that allows you to each class choose one of the following four options to upgrade and give a special kind of additional perk. The first one is Gunfighter, and that allows you to add 8 primary weapon attachments. Crazy. I just think that it's crazy that you can do that in a video game and it be balanced in a shooter.
That is so, like, that's crazy. And I like what you were talking about actually before we were recording this podcast, and how, like, the time to kill is so fast in COD that it's like you're talking milliseconds, like you were saying. And so it really is like, how much do these 3 extra attachments kind of alter things?
Yeah. The one kind of initial reaction that I saw in Cold War was they're giving you a lot of power. Like, kill streaks and the way that they're designed give you a lot of power. The perks are really strong. These wild cards and the weapons, very strong. And that makes the game easier. But if everybody has it, it just brings the whole game up so that everybody's doing more damage. Everybody's doing more, getting more. It's intense. The next wild card is Perk Greed, and that allows you 2 perks from each perk type slot for a total of 6.
That's the one I'm rocking on everything.
A lot of mobility, a lot of different abilities, very strong. Next one, Danger Close, double grenade equipment. Frags are very strong. And then the fourth one, Lawbreaker, allowing you to mix and match any weapon perk type in any slot. Really kind of tear down the whole structure of creative class.
It's really interesting to kind of see the wild card function this way. You know, we like COD. We're not the guys grinding, you know, 1,000 plus hours into COD. But the people that I have talked to that do grind like that, they've seemed to really enjoy this kind of system, kind of controlling each class individually.
And then additionally, there's field upgrades that are directly implemented into the classes rather than being kind of a separate selection of itself. It's connected to each class.
Modern Warfare, it was like you choose Dead Silence or something, and this one, it's like each class is different.
Yeah. Another interesting little tidbit on Call of Duty Cold War is the implementation of score streaks versus kill streaks. This is major. Some of the pros and cons to it is that it's divided a lot of players in the community. On one side, you have not as good players that are loving that they can actually, over the course of a game, get very impactful score streaks like cruise missiles and chopper gunners. On the other side of that, you know, everyone having access to those make objective-based game modes feel incredibly overwhelming and maybe not fun when players are repeatedly dying to explosions over and over again, just trying to complete the objective.
I remember, you know, when we first started playing this, we were just so frustrated at some points. It got to the point where it was like, if you're one of the top players on the team, you pretty much have to run, I think it's Air Patrol is maybe the name of it, that destroys all the other score streaks in the air, because it's just, oh my gosh, cruise missile after cruise missile coming down on you. Absolutely brutal.
Yeah, it's quite intense. Big switch up to just how the game is played. Makes it more widely accessible. Probably more fun for the general player. Definitely encourages longer games. Team deathmatch, you know, rapid iterations of dopamine, positive reaction. You're earning stuff all the time. It's very hard to feel like a failure in this game compared to previous games where your entire career, you might not ever get a chopper gunner and
so true,
you're still going to play. So it's very different. Cold War has already rotated in fun multiplayer modes such as Express 24/7 and Nuketown 24/7. You know, I'm OG with Nuketown. Definitely played a lot of that. A lot of my childhood was spent on the old Nuketown. Back in that classic Black Ops style, I'm not a huge fan of the map. I feel like you get grenaded a million times.
I agree.
But people love it.
It's interesting. Like, essentially the story behind, no, Nuketown always happens, but Express 24/7 coming out, my understanding of what happened is people were complaining about the Cold War maps. No complaints about from me about the maps for this one. I think there's some phenomenal maps in here. But essentially, this map happened, the map complaints happened, and they just said, we're just going to bring back a map that everyone really likes for, you know, high-level play, and that's going to please people. And it did. People were very happy to have Express 24/7 for a while.
It's so interesting just to see the crossover of games and different developers, and it's a fascinating franchise. It really is. It's hard not to look at Call of Duty and at least learn something.
Yeah. Speaking on maps, you know, they are a topic of debate. I'm going to share my opinion. I'm the newie for COD still. To this day, I don't have the MW2 experience that people always say is what got them addicted to video games. But for me though, Cold War has had some of the best maps I remember playing in a long time. And it makes the game just feel very fresh and fun. You know, there's always going to be maps that are challenging for certain game modes. Since launch, they've done a lot of adjustments. It's been something that's been an emphasis in the patch notes and such to spawn points for hard points and many other changes that have led to a great experience. And I honestly think that they've introduced some maps, Crossroads, into the franchise that feel like they could be classics for a long time. Have led to me just having great experiences. Playing private matches on Crossroads are just so fun. Haven't really had that kind of like local private match fun on some maps since like we were messing around on Black Ops 4. But Crossroads specifically, great map for me. What were kind of maybe some of your impressions on the Cold War maps?
I liked them. I thought it was a really nice return to Black Ops 1. You know, Black Ops 2 and 3 did not feel like this.
No.
You had a lot more futuristic elements to it, a little bit more, flexibility in maps.
Yeah.
And this iteration is a lot more boots on the ground, simple lanes. It definitely feels classic.
There was no lanes when you had double jump and wall running to kind of like finesse your way and from spot to spot.
Too fast. Too fast to even really identify it.
Overall, though, multiplayer, as always, from COD, incredibly solid, incredibly fun. Anything else before you talk about ranked?
Let's get into ranked.
Let's talk ranked. So, for the first time since Black Ops 4, Cold War has introduced ranked mode back into the game. Just want to be fully transparent. This is something that's new to both of us, and we've never really dived into ranked COD before. Our first impressions, though, are that it's a ton of fun. Very different way to play COD than what I'm at least used to in public multiplayer matches. It's just a very different level of intensity, and it's 4v4, which is going to play incredibly different on all the maps. So the ranking system, though, for anyone that's curious, to rank up, players need to earn gems to climb a placement ladder in the division they are placed in after playing their first set of placement matches. Players are measured and compete in ladders of 50 players that are selected at random from the division they're placed in. There are 5 divisions in Cold War that separate players by a certain percentage of the player base that fall into each category. So you have Master, which is the top 2%, Elite, the top 15%, Expert, top 30%, Advanced, top 50%, and then you have Competitor, bottom 50%, everybody else. So within each division, though, there are ranks that you can get based upon how you perform in your ladder, labeled numbers 1 through 30. Depending on where you finish, you will get labeled as bronze, silver, silver, gold, gold, and diamond within the actual division that you're in. So to get diamond, players need to finish first in their ladder 6 straight times. If you see a diamond, that's legit. Like an elite diamond, you're going to die 35 plus times in the game.
Dang.
Cool thing about Cold War, you only play against people in the same skill division as yourself. Unless you're in a party, you know, if I play with a guy that's a master and I'm an elite. And so we only play with masters on the other team, which can be long queue times, but they don't really care. They'll just want it to be as balanced as possible based off the top people. League play then matches Call of Duty League for rules. So 4v4, you play matches in one of 3 modes this year, hardpoint, control, or search. The maps are limited based on to only a handful of them. attachment bands on top of this as well. Players do have access to all the loadout customization that they want that is allowed, and so everybody has the same level of thing. You can hop in at level 2 and you'll have every attachment for the AK-47, and that's kind of cool. Ranked play has kind of been talked about still, and there's still more to grow and change within it. I just think the competition is very addicting, and learning all the rules and callouts that kind of happen in Call of Duty is crazy. Give me your thoughts, though, a little bit on ranked in this setup, at least, and what maybe you think.
I'm competitive. I like ranked stuff. I think it's very rewarding to play any ranked mode. Mm-hmm. I think it's so awesome that, A, I like that everybody has access to the same stuff.
Yeah.
That makes it great. Mm-hmm. You know, we're coming from Apex, where if a legend comes out and they blow everybody out of the water, mm-hmm. like Horizon, but you just started and you only have access to the first 8
you're
or
screwed.
6,
mm-hmm.
you're not really on the same playing field in terms of ranked. But I like that a lot in COD. That's really not even a point of discussion. And then I like the fact that they limit the loadout customization. I don't necessarily know if it's a matter of this game is unfair and it's naturally unbalanced, mm-hmm. and that's the way we like it. That seems weird, potentially true, mm-hmm. but kind of crazy thing to say.
Mm-hmm.
Might be true. Or if it's, we just want it to be very simple, and so that it's more focused on movement, intel, teamwork, mm-hmm. and less on the gunplay, and maybe making the gunplay more difficult. It's a very interesting decision that I like a lot.
I honestly think it is kind of this idea of, okay, we understand what style of COD is fun and appealing to watch. And so you might go play TDM or Domination and have a great time with an LMG, but that is not a fun style of play to watch. And so in league play, LMGs are not allowed. And so in our ranked system, which is going to match the professional league that we are trying to advertise, there will be no LMGs allowed. And it's very interesting. And then on top of that, like, we don't need to dive too deep into it, but the whole concept of them, there being GAs, which are like gentlemen's agreements in COD. And so it's like, when you play in elite lobbies on COD, when I play with my buddy, nobody runs a sniper. Even though snipers are allowed and you can pick them, nobody runs a sniper. It's GA'd, like gentleman's agreement. Nobody uses that. There's a couple score streaks that are like that too. It's like the community balances itself in a way that we are really not used to that in Apex. Apex is very much just loud complaining a lot of the time. And so it's so different.
Yeah. I think that the whole GA thing is a bit sexist and weird, but very interesting that it can just manage itself according to some people. I think that's very interesting that people don't get upset about a certain weapon or score streak because just everybody agrees not to use it. That blows my mind. It doesn't seem like something that's possible in the gaming space, but evidently it's a big thing in this game.
It's really a small portion of the audience, though, that does it, and it's based on an even smaller portion that people are watching and competing against. And that's kind of like the weird thing. Like, it's not super common, but the fact that it's even a thing at the highest of high levels is so weird.
It really is.
Let's talk zombies now.
Yeah, so again, this is probably my first or second favorite game mode in COD. Fell in love with zombies in Black Ops 1. Played every one since. My favorite one, if I were to pick one, would be the Black Ops 3 Zombies Chronicle edition. Thought just felt so good. Great maps, mm-hmm. great weapons. I loved the new introductions to how they did Pack Punch and the Gobble Gums. I thought were interesting. Didn't use them that much because I thought they were OP. First impressions for Cold War Zombies, though, were you can start with a pre-selected loadout, which kind of blew my mind. The fact that I can go into a game of zombies with an AK-47, thought that was crazy. Next, you have damage callouts from zombies, so you see like hit damage markers. I thought that was very interesting, and that's kind of when you're training zombies, I don't really want to see a million numbers everywhere, so I thought that was a little overwhelming. And then lots of more drops with salvage metal and different crafting mm-hmm. things, so it's not just max ammos and nukes. There's a lot more going on. And then the last first impression was you can call in score streaks for the first time in this Zombies like a chopper gunner. Mm-hmm. And these three things kind of like overwhelmed me. I was kind of disgusted by them because it didn't seem like actual zombies. Like, you're going to start with not a pistol. You're going to have a chopper gunner. That's kind of crazy. it's not as much of a challenge, maybe. But off of the bat, I did also see some major positives that excited me. The optional exfil at round 10, and then every five rounds after that, I felt like was a great thing to put into zombies. Allows it to mm-hmm. be way more accessible to people, and allows myself and others mm-hmm. to feel successful. To say, yeah, it is difficult to exfil, but you get to feel the success in a more obtainable time span, which I like a lot.
Wasn't the worst thing having to like quit because you had to go do something for some other reason, or yeah. just like trying to figure out a way, hey, I'm going to use the restroom. Okay, I'm going to run a train for a while because we can't pause.
And that's another, you can pause mm-hmm. in this one too. So not only can you actually end the game on your own terms, mm-hmm. but you can also pause and on multiplayer too. So really, really cool off the bat, really strong things. But initially, I thought this Zombies was just way too easy. It was undercutting the challenge of the game by giving you so many shortcuts. But I revisited the game with some friends and found a new admiration for the Cold War look on zombies. And what I realized was that although the weapons are much more powerful, given that weapons off the wall have attachments on them mm-hmm. and a rarity system, the weapons, you know, drastically improve with the rarity, ammo mods, and then a new leveling system for the pack-a-punch upgrade. So there's three tiers to that. It's still really fun.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really, you know, enjoyable for me. The zombie difficulty or health, speed, attack increases at a pace where you pretty much are required to be upping the power of your weapons in order to stay balanced. So at first glance, it looked like, oh, that's overpowered. But given the way that the game's designed and on the zombie side, this is just a deeper mechanic to upgrading weapons, which I think is pretty cool. Then they added kind of a nice quality of life thing for the first time in Zombies with a ping system, which I thought was awesome. Because for me, especially doing challenges and Easter eggs and things like that, when you're guiding or getting guided, very nice to be able to ping things out. Mm-hmm. And, you know, just coming from Apex in the world of pinging, definitely a fan.
Yes.
I also really like the additional grind of upgrading perks and field upgrades. At first, it seemed like a cheat way to get to high rounds if you're an experienced player. Like if you're, you know, prestige and now you have like maxed out everything, mm-hmm. you're just going to be able to boom, go in there and be really successful. And you're not on the same playing field as someone who doesn't have those unlocked. But after experiencing the complexity of the Easter eggs and the boss fights, I think this is a really fun way to just make the whole mode better. And overall, the Zombies in Cold War is incredibly different from its predecessors, but I think that it's a really great direction for the next generation of Zombies player. Very enjoyable, and just, I enjoy it a lot. The balance of the additional complexity this time around and player power, I think, really matches each other quite well.
And that's kind of interesting. So you're saying it's a lot more difficult. There's a lot more things to comprehend, but the fact that you can be stronger kind of balances the difficulty in that way, which is an interesting way to go about making a change like that.
Yeah. And in some titles, zombies is kind of ignored, mm-hmm. but in this one, it feels like it's very much forward. It has a very deep upgrade tree where you have all, like you can upgrade every single thing. And so if you are buying a COD for zombies, I think this is a really great one because one, again, all the maps are free as they come out.
Mm-hmm.
And two, it just seems like a fully fleshed out version of zombies where you could just play that and get your money's worth.
I think that's a really good thing. Let's talk about the weapons briefly before we kind of wrap this one up. Call of Duty Cold War, you know, got a lot of the return of the mainstays. You got the AKs, the MP5s, and along with some new weapons, but the new weapons really haven't been super impactful in the game itself. Got a favorite gun?
I like the Krig. Pretty much AR player mm-hmm. since day one of shooters, so I like that weapon a lot.
Yeah, I've been using the MP5 for a long time off launch, and then after it got nerfed, I was using the AK-74U because I just have been playing ranked lately, and so I just have to use whatever the boss man says is the most powerful SMG in the game. I really think the weapons feel great. The kind of comparison to Modern Warfare that's interesting is Modern Warfare currently has 35 different primaries and 10 secondaries. Cold War, after even adding guns, has 20 primaries and 9 secondaries. And so there is a very big gap in weapon use and customization between these two games, which is kind of interesting to see.
Definitely. It's an intentional decision.
Yes.
You know, a lot of guns were added to Modern Warfare, so, you know, possible the Cold War kind of gets into more of a respectable range. But interesting. How many weapons do you need? You know, it's an interesting point to look at.
Wrap it up. Overall thoughts on Cold War? Is it your favorite COD of all time?
It's not my favorite COD of all time, but that's just because I'm kind of moving away from the series. But I think that it's a solid entry. Like, mm-hmm. I think that they did a great job.
Solid game. Really fun. Campaign is great. Multiplayer is fun. Playing ranked again is really cool for a lot of players that have been kind of hoping and looking for that for a while. As always, they just did solid with COD. Okay, time for the Make It a Game segment. Break this one down for our listeners, Henry.
So this is a segment where we take an idea from the real world, whether it's a movie or a book, real life event or otherwise, and we try to make it into what we think is an amazing game that we would enjoy.
So this one's a little bit more free-formed. So I recently read a book called The Alchemist, and it got me thinking about magic in the gaming universe. And, you know, recently I played some Spellbreak, which is kind of like the closest thing to a magic game I've played. I'm not sure BR fits magic, which we can talk about in a second here. But then we see magic kind of dominating games like League of Legends that are that MOBA style game. And so I kind of just wanted to, I was looking at this book, The Alchemist, and kind of talk about how does that genre of magic fit into a video game in a balanced way? Which I don't think we're going to be able to come up with an answer for because it's a tough question. But kind of looking at how would this mechanic play best? We always default to that third person open world style as our favorite thing. The book that I read itself has different types of practitioners. You got magicians, sorcerers, alchemists, necromancers, and elementalists. And is there a path for like a build your own style game with the concept of magic? And then I put the title of Watch Dogs as kind of like the maybe perspective and universe that would maybe suit it. What are your just thoughts on maybe magic though?
Yeah, I think magic's a really interesting thing to put into a game because mm-hmm. magic is inherently OP.
Yes.
You know, it's very overpowered. The rules around the magic universe are almost unbounded most mm-hmm. of the time. Like you have spells that insta-kill mm-hmm. and fly. And so you really have a very open canvas. But for a game, you kind of need rules going mm-hmm. into it in order to have something fun. So I think that it's cool, but a very big challenge. I think the idea of kind of an open world game mm-hmm. where it was more single player with other players, maybe, you know, hijacking your yeah, lobby sometimes yeah. could be a cool way to do a super powered game through magic.
I like that this book kind of laid the foundation for a skill tree in a way. And I think yeah. that fits really well with the concept of magic. Like you're a magician or whatever, but you can really focus on whatever path of magic you want. And I also think a game like this, it'd be really cool if it was more like Destiny, where it's like, once you kind of choose that path, you're locked into it and kind of need to perfect it. And it's not so much like Assassin's Creed, where you choose a path, but you're also pretty proficient in the rest of them and can do them effectively. I think that might be kind of the key to a magic style game. But then figuring out how to balance those would obviously be the very challenging part.
No doubt.
Okay, that's the kind of the quick make it a game segment. We got to sell me a game now. Break this one down.
This is our segment where we take turns pitching each other a game without giving away the name of it to see if the other person would be interested in playing, watching, or maybe waiting for a sale or discount on the game. You can go ahead and start us off this time.
Okay. So I have my pitch. Normally I give the big mystery of the developer, okay? And that's how I kind of set the stage. But I don't want to do that this time. this one's developed by Ubisoft. I just want to set the stage because we're both huge fans. So
they make good stuff.
They make good stuff that we're fans of. So I just want to start that and get you hyped. So this game has been on a heck of a journey. It was announced at E3 in 2017.
Wow.
So the team then announced that they had a bigger vision for what they had announced at E3 in 2017. This led to the game being incredibly delayed, and then very recently, it was announced that the game has been reworked with a new vision. Still, the game holds the same central theme that it was announced with. This is actually the first game that Ubisoft Singapore took on as a role, but since the new vision announcement, they've noted that they have pulled in many different Ubisoft studios from around the world to work on this title. So, the game itself, though, described as a tactical action game set in an open world. And so, just calm for a second. You might be thinking, oh man, another shooter. It's not. Okay. We're not in a shooter for this one. This game takes place on the Seven Seas as you take control of a pirate captain and take the battle to somewhere Ubisoft has seen a lot of credentialed success in combat with Assassin's Creed Black Flags. Mm-hmm. As well as Odyssey, getting some love in that genre as well. Actually, a huge portion of the Black Flags team is working on this game. So, this game is called Skull and Bones. Described as a realistic-looking Sea of Thieves, players will be able to play single-player campaigns or gather five other players and play PvP in an open world. There's fun modes. You have two crews are set to hunt the same treasure and they'll engage with each other. Players will not only be able to lead their own ship of many different types, but lead fleets into battle.
Very cool.
Release to be announced still. There's a lot to go on with it. And then the other fun thing is in 2019, Ubisoft announced a partnership that was going to turn this game into a television show. Like, there's a lot of hype and resources behind this game. You might have to go watch the trailers. The graphics look really fun.
That seems really exciting. You know, my first entry into pirate games was like this Pirates of the Caribbean online game. Really fun. Mm-hmm. Loved it. Mm-hmm. Like, played it on like a little ThinkPad in the basement. It was really cool.
And then my parents never saw me again.
Yeah, it was really cool. So I like the pirate idea, and I think it's a really nice model. I used to think that the most fun game would be like a World War II command game where you're doing maybe something similar. But the pirate genre fits it so well because you can have very contained teams and have things that are a little bit more practical. So
you're not getting bombed
it.
By airships like you might. And
it's not as global, so you got to have some more creative control. That sounds great. I love it.
Okay, let's hear yours now.
So mine is an action-adventure game, and it's published by EA. So
okay.
It's either in friendly territory, we know, but it's in our space. All right, that's all I'm trying to say. And it's set to be released in next couple of months.
Oh, okay.
So it's
soon.
On the near horizon. Mm-hmm. And it has to do with magic. So
what are
very
the
much
odds?
You know, on pace with this episode and the make it a game. But essentially, it's interesting. This is not one that I haven't really dabbled in this space before, but there's a key reason that I'll get to why I think I'm bringing it to you. But essentially, you are a player who is embodying a doll that is brought to life through magic. Okay. And it's kind of kid-like for that reason. Okay. But the reason that I think that it's so cool is that it is a co-op game.
Okay.
So it's called It Takes Two, and it's two people. Graphics are stunning. Mm-hmm. Like, kind of a vibe, kind of like Sea of Thieves, but I think better.
Okay.
Like, more detailed graphics. More like, I don't know, you probably didn't play Ratatouille on the GameCube.
No, I didn't, but now I wish I did.
You're a doll, so everything is big around you, but it looks
very
cool.
I was thinking
cool.
Like Little Big Planet was kind of like the first thing that came to my mind.
Sort of like that, but it's so focused on this co-op that it's more like A Way Out. So the prison game.
Oh, okay. I love that one.
Kind of duos. Mm-hmm. But what's cool is there's no single player option.
Oh.
Only playable on online with co-op, two mm-hmm. players. But it also has the ability and encourages local split screen.
Love it.
For the first time in a decade.
So, yes.
I think it's a real throwback and a return to this kind of couch style game.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little kiddie with the dolls, but the graphics are so cool that it might be worth at least like watching a little of it because it's a real throwback in my eyes.
Well, I am the biggest proponent of split screen gameplay. I love it. A Way Out was one of the best gaming experiences I've had in a while. I will 100% support any game going down that route. No doubt.
You might.
Even if I don't play it, I'm buying it just for the just for the sales at this
support
point.
Support EA.
Support EA.
Good choice.
They need it. Okay. That's going to wrap up the episode. Make sure you subscribe on Apple Pods. Give us a follow on Spotify. Leave a 5-star review with your question. We'll answer on the next episode or leave a 5-star review with your game recommendation for us to look at covering. Follow us on Instagram at GoodGamesPod. Catch you next time. Peace.
The rules have changed. There's a fine line between right and wrong. And somewhere in the shadows, they'll send us in to find them.
126 Actual, target is in the main house. You have execute authority.
Bravo 6, going dark.